More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside.
Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Would Hunter Biden be in jail years ago if he were a Republican? Well, that is exactly what Ron DeSantis, Florida governor and now candidate for president of the United States of America, has said, saying, look, the federal investigation of Hunter Biden is now in its fifth year, and there is no doubt that if Hunter Biden were a Republican, he'd already be in prison. Ron DeSantis is making it clear what he thinks about this federal investigation into the president's son. The Florida governor, who announced he is in this race officially, made the comments during a campaign stop in Iowa when asked about weaponized bureaucracy in Washington, D.C. He said, quote, we have a bureaucracy that our founding fathers would find unrecognizable. It's an unaccountable, weaponized administrative state that unevenly wields authority depending on its target. Two different sets of rules depending on whether you're a member in good standing of the elite society or not, he continued, saying this, if Hunter were a Republican, he would have been in jail years ago. Now, this investigation has been taking a long time, and Republicans in the House are asking now a lot of questions. One of the people that's demanding answers is James Comer. James Comer is now threatening to hold the FBI director, Christopher Wray, in contempt for not producing Hunter Biden documents. Now, these documents are extremely important, and I want you to hear what was said on Fox News about this with Jonathan Turley and the background of why they want these documents.
Arthel, we are now just 2 days away from a major meeting about the Biden family business dealings. FBI Director Christopher Wray is set to speak with House Oversight Committee Chairman James Comer on Wednesday. That is 1 day after the deadline that Comer gave him to share an internal document. A whistleblower claims that the document shows then Vice President Biden was involved in a criminal scheme with a foreign national. For more on this, joining us now is Jonathan Turley, Fox News contributor and a GWU law professor and a constitutional law attorney. Jonathan, thanks for your time today. So look, this meeting is going to happen on Wednesday, right after, you know, James Comer and Republicans were potentially pitching the idea of holding Christopher Wray in contempt of Congress if he didn't start cooperating. What do you think is going to come out of this meeting, if anything?
Well, most expectations is that Wray is going to hold the line and resist revealing this document. Their argument is that this document contains the type of raw allegations that come over the transom or through sources, sometimes anonymous sources. The problem with the FBI's position is that it is also being investigated. That one of the concerns among many in the American people is that they believe that the FBI has been politically compromised for years. And polls indicate that that is not changing. And whether you agree with that or not, it suggests that your approach needs to change. That is, the only way to reverse those numbers is to give greater transparency. There's another issue here that supports Congress. You know, yes, the FBI investigates crime, but one of the functions of the Congress in oversight is to look at corruption. That includes things that may not be criminal, but are corrupt. Influence peddling is the favorite form of corruption in Washington. And in this case, the Bidens have been accused of millions of dollars coming from foreign interests, some closely associated with foreign intelligence. This document's part of that investigation. I think that Ray's got to look at that context and say this is not the usual, you know, push and shove from Congress. There's a need here to be more transparent.
There's a need here to be more transparent. The question is, will he be more transparent? Now, James Comer has made it clear he's not putting up with this partisanism any longer. And the chairman of the U.S. House Oversight Committee said this week that he is beginning the proceedings to hold the FBI director, Christopher Wray, in contempt of Congress for not producing a memo that is related to the agency's investigation into President Joe Biden. Comer said the FBI's decision to withhold the document is unacceptable after he was told about it through a whistleblower, saying, quote, today, the FBI informed the committee that it will not provide the unclassified documents. So these aren't even classified. These are unclassified documents subpoenaed by the committee, basically saying subpoenaed by Congress. The FBI's decision to stiff arm Congress and hide this information from the American people is obstructionist and unacceptable. Now, the House Oversight Committee has already been investigating President Biden. And I want to be clear about how I describe that. President Biden, yes, they're looking at his son's business dealings in China, but they're looking at really whether President Biden illegally or unethically benefited from these multi-million dollar transactions and is compromised because of them with different countries that can include China, Russia, the list, Romania, Ukraine, the list goes on and on. Quote, while I have a call scheduled with FBI Director Wray to discuss his response further, the committee has been clear in its intent to protect congressional oversight authority and will now be taking steps to hold the FBI director in contempt of Congress for refusing to comply with a lawful subpoena. America deserves the truth, and the Oversight Committee will continue to demand transparency from the nation's chief law enforcement agency. Now, last month, James Comer said the committee was investigating not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, not six, not seven, not eight, but nine Biden family members. Now, let me be clear. He said the committee is investigating. We're not naming nine that benefited financially that we know about from these suspicious activity reports. He's now saying that they are investigating the nine Biden family members after they received more of the financial documents from the Treasury Department. James Comer says the large sums were transferred from at least one Chinese communist company that ended up in bank accounts controlled by the Biden nexus, saying, quote, thousands of pages of financial records related to the Biden family, their companies and associates, and the business schemes were made available to members of the House Committee on Oversight and Accountability, which confirm the importance of this investigation, Comer went on to say. Now, this is the reason why, and I go back to Ron DeSantis here, he understands that this is an election year issue. He understands that it's important for this to take place and to move forward. He also understands how corrupt everything has been. And this is exactly why the former Attorney General Bill Barr said on Saturday at an event that Hunter Biden, the son of the president, Joe Biden, is likely to face serious charges stemming from a Department of Justice probe. The DOJ has conducted a five-year-long investigation of Hunter Biden for alleged tax offenses and making false statements while purchasing a firearm. Barr, who was serving as the AG when the investigation began, provided his perspective on the investigation during an appearance on CBS News. Barr said he suspects a recent meeting between federal prosecutors, Delaware authorities, and Hunter Biden's attorneys indicate that the DOJ officials are nearing a charging decision in that case. There's probably been a lot of hand-wringing in many different places, but I assume that the defense went in there to try to see what they think would be a way to resolve this without serious charges against Hunter Biden. Bill Barr said, I suspect they're going to be unsuccessful, quote unquote. Barr also added that the case is likely taking a longer time because the tax case against the president's son is complicated, especially after they fired everybody that was investigating it, removed them from it at the IRS. It requires work from the IRS side, but also because the DOJ could be probing the allegations of corruption lobbied against Hunter Biden by Republicans. In addition to the DOJ probe, we also know that Hunter Biden is facing legal scrutiny from House Republicans over his foreign business dealings. GOP lawmakers have said that his business dealings with foreign companies, including some associated with directly with the CCP, Chinese Communist Party, while his father served as a vice president from 2009 to 2017 under Barack Obama, should face investigations over their alleged corruption. Quote, Barr said he shares concerns about abuses of power conducted by Hunter Biden, but ultimately questioned whether he would ultimately be found guilty in a court of law, saying this, there's a difference between abuse of power, shameful behavior when you're in power, and so forth, and something that can actually be proven as a crime, Barr said. I joined the conclusion that there was a lot of shameful self-dealing and influence peddling and so forth. I think the American people should take note. That should be explained and shown to the American people. The question is whether you can prove a crime is a different matter, which is exactly why, by the way, House Republicans are not focusing in on Hunter Biden. They're focusing in on the president of the United States of America, because really that's where the real crimes were being committed. Now you understand their strategy. Now, before I get into more of this story, I want to say thank you and tell you about our good friends at Patriot Mobile. They are now offering a performance guarantee. If you're not happy with your coverage, you can switch between the three major carriers for free. Yeah, Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. They offer nationwide coverage on the best G4 and G5 networks, the same network and towers you're using right now. The difference is not only do you get the same great quality that you're used to, but they actually are a company that fights to preserve our God-given rights and freedoms. So this year, resolve to stop spending your money with companies that don't align with your values. In fact, actually fight against what you believe in. Switch to Patriot Mobile. You'll be supporting First and Second Amendment groups, the rights of unborn children, and even helping with adoptions. It is easy to switch. Call them right now. Or go online to patriotmobile.com/Ferguson. That's patriotmobile.com/Ferguson. Or call them 878-PATRIOT. You're going to get free activation with the offer code Ferguson. That's 878-PATRIOT or patriotmobile.com/Ferguson. It's pretty clear that James Comer is not messing around. And he also explained to us why he wants this piece of paper that's not classified, that the FBI director, Christopher Wray, is refusing to turn over. Now, the intel they have to even know to ask for this piece of paper was from a whistleblower. Here is what he had to say on Fox News Channel with Sean Hannity. Listen.
So, but a 1023 is a confidential informant that would give information that they would take it. Maybe it's not fully corroborated. Now, the question is, did they do a full investigation, A, and B, and secondly, if they feel or fear that this may be made public, I'm sure you would agree to see it in a skiff or a private setting. Would that be fair?
That would be fair, but it's not classified. So their argument that says they don't want to out their informant, I agree with that 100%. There's a process in Washington to prevent that, and that's called redacting the name of the informant. That solves that. If the informant's claim isn't legitimate, then again, why are they worried about the informant? Look, we learned something during the second conversation we had with people representing the FBI when they came in to talk to my staff. Our specific request, first of all, said we want any Form 1023 dated in August 2020 with the word Biden on it. And you know what they came back and said, Sean? They said, well, that would just be too many documents. We can't possibly prepare all that. So, you know, a light bulb goes off. What do you mean? How many 1023s are there with the word Biden just for 1 month in 2020? Now, this is what we found with the Treasury with the suspicious activity reports. There were hundreds of these indicating potential wrongdoing of the Bidens with respect to financial transactions. Now, the way that I understood the FBI, there are multiple Form 1023s pertaining to Biden. So we had to narrow the focus to say, okay, Biden and the word $5 million.
So let's just sit back and recap this for a moment. The Justice Department does not deny the existence of this record. The Justice Department says there's too many records that deal with the Bidens during 1 month of a certain year, which is shocking in itself. So they had to go back and say, do you have any documents with Biden that have 5 million involved? And that is exactly why Comer says the FBI informed the committee that it will not provide the unclassified documents subpoenaed by the committee. And the FBI's decision to stiff-arm Congress and hide this information from the American people is obstructionist and unacceptable. Now, James Comer and Christopher Wray do have a phone call that is supposed to take place today. Comer was asked about that, right? Will you proceed to hold the FBI in contempt of Congress? Or if you talk to him, what's going to happen? Listen to his answer on that.
So you're going to hold Director Wray in contempt. Is that what you said? Even though you have a scheduled call with him, where does it stand tonight?
Well, today was the deadline. He was given 3 weeks to produce a document and go into detail on what exactly they did to investigate the validity of the document. But thus far, he won't even admit that they have the document, Sean. He's given us the runaround for 3 weeks. He's just stalling. He said there's good faith effort. They haven't produced anything. They haven't even admitted they have a document. So we don't have confidence in Director Wray. We're already in the process of drafting legislation to hold an oversight committee markup next week to hold FBI Director Wray in contempt of Congress.
I don't blame him for this. Yeah, if you're going to have a phone call with him, fine. But thousands of pages of financial records related to the Biden family, their companies and associates and their business schemes that have been made available to Congress, they're finding stuff. Now you got a whistleblower saying, hey, you don't have it all. Then they go to the FBI and they say, hey, we need to look at this piece of paper. Right? And they say, no, we're not going to give it to you. It's not even classified. Don't care. Because they're protecting the Biden crime family. In other words, who gives a crap if the FBI director has a scheduled phone call with the House Oversight Committee Chairman James Comer to discuss the informant file that allegedly accuses President Biden of being part of a $5 million bribery scheme? Your response to subpoena is due by May 30th. You missed the deadline, right? So, fine, I'll take your phone call, but you missed the deadline. We sent you a subpoena for the information on May 3rd after the whistleblower contacted Senator Chuck Grassley about the document said to have been created or modified on June 30th of 2020. The FBI last week releasing confidential source information could, quote, jeopardize potentially investigations and put lives at risk. Potentially. I love the FBI. At least they're consistent, right? Can't show you. Someone might die. The FBI remains committed to cooperating with Congress's oversight requests on this matter and others, as we always have. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy also attempted to help mediate the dispute with a May 19th call to Christopher Wray and said afterwards he thought the Bureau would comply, saying, quote, the FBI has continued to tie itself in knots to ignore a legitimate subpoena from Congress, which has a constitutional duty of oversight. That's what Chuck Grassley said last week. The Bureau's developed a serious reputation problem through its spats of failure and overreach, and leadership is doing itself no favors by attempting to stiff-arm Congress again, the longtime senator said. He's angry because this Whistleblower Protection Caucus co-chairman understands these people are putting their careers at risk every time they are forced to come forward. The FBI knows exactly what document Chairman Comer and I are seeking. And if they know us at all, they know we will get it one way or another. If FBI leadership truly cares about protecting the agency's reputation, they'd cooperate. James Comer on the House side, Grassley on the Senate side, have not publicly discussed major details of the bribery allegation, such as specifying which country or U.S. policy decisions were involved or manipulated due to the payoff. Congress, by the way, has many tools to force the executive branch agencies to comply with subpoenas, including litigation and withholding funding. In addition to contempt votes, which generally are used to shame subjects, it's possible for lawmakers to impeach officials like Christopher Wray. During, by the way, the immediate aftermath of the vice presidency, Joe Biden interacted with his son, Hunter Biden, and his brother, James Biden's associates in China, Mexico, Kazakhstan, Russia, Ukraine, Romania. That according to files from Hunter Biden's laptop. He even appeared to be penciled in for a 10% cut of a Chinese government-linked aid energy deal under negotiation 17 that didn't pay out until right after he left the vice presidential office. You got to understand here. We've got whistleblowers who now feel comfortable to come forward. We have the IRS whistleblower, Gary Shapley, who oversaw the tax fraud investigation of Hunter Biden since 2020. He testified Friday to the House Ways and Means Committee about alleged preferential treatment in the five-year-old investigation. The primary IRS case agent on that investigation, since it opened in 18, came forward last week to back up his boss after the IRS on May the 15th removed the 13 people that were investigating. They were the 13-person investigative team in alleged retribution for him contacting Congress. FBI agents assigned to the investigation also reportedly are frustrated by the lack of charges after completing most of their work on the case, not this year, but last year. Time and time again, the Democrats keep winning, and the reason why is because they never are held accountable and they apparently never have to play by the rules. That's the problem here. And we better wake up and understand we have an opportunity. And James Comer and Jim Jordan are doing an amazing job with this. Chuck Grassley doing an amazing job with this. But other Republicans need to understand now, it's very clear. It's very, very clear from these whistleblowers that all this was going on. James Comer also said this about Joe Biden, saying Joe Biden lied to the American people. Listen to this, what he had to say, Maria Bartiromo.
There are a lot of obstacles, but I think what we produced this week, this 38-page memorandum, was pretty solid evidence that we've been able to accumulate, showing that Joe Biden lied when he said his family never took money from China, showing that the media got it wrong when they said none of these payments were ever made while Joe Biden was in office, and then naming nine Biden family members that received money. None of this was ever known before. So we presented the media with something they weren't used to, especially when Adam Schiff was leading the investigations. We produced evidence.
Yeah. They have produced that evidence. And now it's time for Republicans to get off their rear ends and focus in on this.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
Every week, we'll pick a new song from the list and talk about their placement on the revamped 2021 list.
We'll also have guests join us, ranging from the artists themselves to the producers, or simply other writers like ourselves who voted on them.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern-day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside and Britney Spears' Baby One More Time.
There's so many fascinating stories that have been forgotten, like Midnight Train to Georgia starting with a phone call to Farrah Fawcett, or how the Yeah Yeah Yeahs inspired Kelly Clarkson's banger Since You've Been Gone and Beyoncé's Hold Up. Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with season two of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's talk about a great opportunity for your IRA and 401ks. You can get free gold just by learning about gold IRAs from Augusta Precious Metals. It's important that you know what's going on in this crazy economy, and your hard-earned savings need protecting from the devalued dollar. Protecting from the devalued dollar, especially if you're close to retirement. Augusta Precious Metals will give you information on how to protect your savings and open a gold IRA. So if you've saved at least $100,000 for retirement, call and ask about their ultimate guide to gold IRAs. I trust Augusta Precious Metals, and you can too. They will make sure that you understand what is best for you and your portfolio. There's a reason Money Magazine says they are the best gold IRA company. Get free gold, free information, and retirement protection now by calling 877-4-GOLD-IRA. That's 877, the number 4-GOLD-IRA. Or AugustaPreciousMetals.com. I want to move on to another issue that is important, and I'm going to read you the headline first, and then I'm going to play you a piece of audio that connects very much to this headline. The headline is this. I love this headline, by the way. Donald Trump pledges to end birthright citizenship on first day in office. That apparently is now evil and bigoted and racist. Everything you would expect. In fact, now the media is saying that both DeSantis standing up for our borders and Trump, they now say, are identical. And now it's just a race for who is more xenophobic than the other, because they actually want to stand up for an American first policy. They're also angry in the media that people like Chris Christie, who are looking at this race and saying, look at me, right? Vote for me. I might be the great guy that you should get behind. They're angry that they're not showing up in the polling at all. They're basically a joke. Take a listen to this as they're giving you their expertise on CNN.
It shows that the true state of the Republican Party is MAGA. There are not two dual parties here. There's not two wings. There is just MAGA and extreme MAGA, and you see that clearly playing out in the polls with people like Christie purporting to be moderates, purporting to be part of the normal wing of the Republican Party, getting hardly any support in the actual data.
Now, I love the fact that they're describing the Republican Party as the party of MAGA and ultra MAGA. Make America great again. If that's who we are, I have no issues with it. I also love the fact that they think the Republican Party should be Chris Christie and they're angry that it's not. That also tells you everything you need to know about how successful we are right now. We don't want Chris Christie to be showing up in the polls, the same way that we don't want Jeb Bush to be showing up in the polls. The last thing we want is for these idiots to show up in the polls. Now, I do believe we have to reach out in a general election. And I don't want there to be a bloodbath and a just massive feeding frenzy between Ron DeSantis and Donald Trump. As I said the other day, I'm happy with both candidates, and whoever gets the nomination, I will happily support. What I don't want to happen is for these morons to convince America that a guy like Chris Christie deserves your vote when clearly he doesn't. Now, let me go back to the headline, by the way, and this is, again, an American first policy. Donald Trump is pledging to end birthright citizenship on first day in office. Immediately, they scream that's racist and xenophobia, yada, yada, yada. But what the former president is doing is he's returning to his calls. He's made these before to remove birthright citizenship. With his 2024 White House campaign announcing this week he would seek to end it via executive order on the first day in office. Now, Trump announced his plan on the 25th anniversary of the United States versus Wong Kim Ark. That's the Supreme Court case that established the constitutional right to birthright citizenship. The proposal echoes a long-time demand of immigration restrictions and a measure Trump touted while in office, attracting criticism from both immigration advocates as well as legal experts. Now, the latest that we now know is most experts say that a president does not have the authority to end birthright citizenship through an executive order, primarily because the practice is enshrined in the Constitution, they claim. The 14th Amendment grants citizenship to those born or naturalized in the United States of America and subject to the jurisdiction thereof. The widely accepted interpretation of that amendment, that it applies to children born in the United States of America, regardless of the parents' immigration status, has held since the 1898 Supreme Court case involving a U.S. citizen with Chinese parents. The 14th Amendment was adopted after the Civil War to guarantee equal rights for former slaves. Immigration restrictions argue that excludes the children of other groups like undocumented immigrants from its benefit. As a member of the Reconstruction Congress explained in 1866, the narrow exception to birthright citizenship applies only to the children of diplomats and those born into Native American tribes who were under the jurisdiction of a separate sovereign and did not need to comply with all U.S. laws, wrote Amanda Frost, a professor of law at the University of Virginia and author of, quote, "You Are Not America, Citizenship Stripping from Dred Scott to the Dreamers." Now, in contrast, immigrants and their children living in the United States of America were and are required to follow all federal and state laws or face criminal and civil penalties, and so are fully subject to the nation's jurisdictions. According to the Trump campaign, the executive order, they say, will explain the clear meaning of the 14th Amendment, which it says is that the children of foreign nationals born in the United States of America are not subject to the jurisdiction of the United States as defined in the Constitution. Now, during Trump's term in office, a draft executive order to that effect was circulated, and the idea was revised shortly after Trump lost to President Biden in the 2020 election. But Trump had floated ending birthright citizenship earlier in his presidency. In fact, in 2018, he said in an Axios interview that he planned to issue an executive order ending birthright citizenship, setting off a political firestorm. "It was always told to me that you needed a constitutional amendment. Guess what? You don't," Trump said at the time. While an executive order altering the interpretation of the 14th Amendment would likely face many legal challenges, its proponents sought to take the case to the courts in hoping of getting a favorable Supreme Court outcome. Supporters of the measure also say that they're betting, basically, on a judicial revocation of birthright citizenship. Quote, "This will set up the court fight. The order will be enjoined. Case will be eventually reach the Supreme Court, which then will finally have to rule on the meaning of subject to the jurisdiction." That's what the executive director of the Center for Immigration Studies, a restrictionist group, is how the liberal media calls them, that calls for massive reductions in immigration. Now, Trump has made it clear that he is trying to secure the southern border. And just like in 2016, Trump has sought to make immigration and border security a top campaign issue, as he should. In its release this week, the Trump campaign dove into the fight over the meaning of jurisdiction and claim that the United States has become one of the few countries in the world to extend citizenship to the children of illegal aliens, even if both parents are not citizens, nor even legally present in the United States of America. Now, let me be clear. I don't know if Donald Trump would win this one. I do think it's important to understand what he's trying to accomplish. And the agenda here is one that we need to understand. The agenda of the president is, let's go out and fight on every one of these issues. Let's make sure that we don't back down. Let's make sure that we are standing here and making it clear what we believe and why we believe. And let's challenge any area where there is a gray area if it comes to securing our southern border. That's what he's trying to do here. The other problem is we know that people are abusing this rule. We know that people are coming across the border illegally at the very last second, and then they're having children in this country, and they're doing it because then they know that they've got an anchor to become a citizen here. They know they're much less likely to be kicked out, right? Much, much, much less likely to be kicked out of this country if they have a child in this country. They're betting on all of this, okay? Like, this is their thing. This is what they're betting on. This is what they're hoping is going to happen. There's also one other point I want to make, and that's about the media. The media is not reporting this story accurately. If you actually listen to what Donald Trump said, pledging this executive order on day one of his presidency to end birthright citizenship for illegal aliens, he says clearly this is part of his entire basically immigration, secure our border plan. It's not one thing by itself out there isolated. They're not telling you that. So I will listen to Trump in his own words.
Part of my plan to secure the border on day one.
Did you hear that? Part of my plan to secure the border on day one. Did the media tell you that? No. They just come out and they're like, the courts are going to stop him. He can't do this. He's wrong. He's a lunatic. He's xenophobic. He's a racist. He's a bigot. No, they take it out of context, of course, because he says, part of my plan, day one, to secure our border, right? Part of our plan. And if you missed it, if you don't believe it, here it is again.
As part of my plan to secure the border on day one of my new term in office, I will sign an executive order making clear to federal agencies that under the correct interpretation of the law, going forward, the future children of illegal aliens will not receive automatic U.S. citizenship. It's things like this that bring millions of people to our country, and they enter our country illegally. My policy will choke off a major incentive for continued illegal immigration, deter more migrants from coming, and encourage many of the aliens Joe Biden has unlawfully let into our country to go back to their home countries. They must go back. Nobody could afford this. Nobody could do this. And even morally, it's so wrong. My order will also end their unfair practice known as birth tourism, where hundreds of thousands of people from all over the planet squat in hotels for their last few weeks of pregnancy to illegitimately and illegally obtain U.S. citizenship for the child, often to later exploit chain migration to jump the line and get green cards for themselves and their family members. It's a practice that's so horrible and so egregious, but we let it go forward. At least one parent will have to be a citizen or a legal resident in order to qualify. We will secure our borders and we will restore our sovereignty. Starting on day one, our country will be great again. Our country will be a country again. We'll have borders. We'll have proper education. And we'll put America first.
If you put it in context, sounds pretty reasonable to me. And I think there's a hell of a lot of voters that are going to agree with me on that one. Don't forget, share this podcast with your family and friends. Please write us a 5-star review if you would. It helps us reach a lot more people. And we will see you back here tomorrow.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside.
Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.